Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. 877-217-5757 is your number. If you'd like to send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. In just a moment, we'll hear from the president of LSU, Tom Galligan. Governor John Bel Edwards has issued a statewide stay-at-home order until April 12th, requiring Louisiana residents to shelter in place unless going out for essential tasks, one of the most stringent steps yet to stop the community spread of COVID-19. Louisiana has the fastest growth rate of confirmed cases in the world. This is from the governor. Our death rate went from 2 to 20 in a week, so that's 10 times. And if that were to continue, then next week it would be 200. So the governor is taking these precautionary steps, and April 12th is the date that presumably will cause a change to take place. There is a question, of course, how long the economy and the people at large can just stay in their homes and not communicate with other people. But that's where we are, and I know many of you are at home and listening, and if you'd like to join the conversation again, 877-217-5757. And with us is Tom Galligan, the president of LSU, and of course these steps affect the Old War School. And good morning to you, Dr. Galligan.
Good morning.
What's your take on where we are right now, Professor?
Well, my take is that we all have a crucial responsibility, and our crucial responsibility is to do what the governor tells us to do, to stay home, to keep washing our hands, to sneeze into our elbows, and to social distance. So right now, that's my take on it. As you know, this is unknown for all of us. So I've been telling people, you know, we got to stay clean. We got to stay as calm as we possibly can. We've got to be courageous, and we've got to be compassionate. And right now, compassionate means staying at home and staying 6 feet apart from each other.
So at LSU right now, is there anybody who is considered so essential that they're reporting to work today?
There is. We're going to implement the governor's order this afternoon at 5 o'clock. So there are folks who are reporting today who are essential. Once we implement the order, there will still be some folks who will continue to report to work. We will have some students still in residence halls and apartments because they can't go home, and so there will be limited staff taking care of them. There'll be dining hall folks or food service folks continuing to provide grab-and-go meals. Police will certainly be essential. There'll be other folks who may come in for 4 hours a couple times a week and then leave for essential functions. But other than that, we're closing, and we are urging everybody to stay home.
Well, I think most people who listen to this show know that you took the spot held by King Alexander, and you, at least until further notice, are, quote, an interim president, but you're getting not a baptism by fire, but one by pandemic, which could be just as dreadful or more so. How are you holding up?
You know, thanks for asking. I'm doing pretty well under the circumstances. I'm surrounded by a wonderful team of folks. Our faculty have been inspirational. They're going online. They're preparing to start that next week. We actually have some folks who have already started. The medical schools in Shreveport and New Orleans never missed a beat. When we announced on Thursday that we were going to go online, they were ready to go Monday. The Law Center, my home when I'm not interim president, is starting today because they don't have spring break. So our faculty have been inspirational. Our staff have been phenomenal. Our students have been awesome. So thanks to all the wonderful people that I'm surrounded by, I think I'm holding up pretty well.
I saw a story over the weekend from Brooks Cabina of The Advocate stating that the athletic weight room was still open. Is that still the case?
You know, I can't answer that right now. I will check that out. I do know if that weight room is still open that we are cleaning it like crazy.
Well, there are only so many precautions that need to be taken. And, of course, one of those has been the shutdown completely of sporting activities. And we don't know when they will resume. And that could affect football. We're only, let's face it, we're only 5 months away from a football season. That was a $55 million net gain to the athletic department and to the university as a whole last year. Can LSU survive without its football program?
Well, let's hope that we don't have to. I think if we have to temporarily survive without various programs, we will do so. But I hope to God that by the fall, we are ready to get back to some semblance of normal life. I actually hope it comes earlier than that. But I know that Scott Woodward and his folks and Coach O have done a fantastic job of planning for every contingency. And Coach O has been a fantastic spokesperson and volunteer for alerting all of us in Louisiana to how serious this is. So I know football's really serious and we love it, but right now he's pursuing a higher calling and we're grateful to him for doing that.
Are you getting involved, Mr. President, in the latest allegations regarding the basketball coach?
Not right now. I'm reviewing those and, my focus, Jim, has been predominantly on Corona, other things will follow in due course, but the safety and well-being of our students and our community have been at the top of my list pretty constantly now for about 2 weeks.
Dr. Galligan, do you think that the spring semester, as far as students returning to campus, that's a no-go, or is it possible that could happen?
I think that we announced that we're going to go online for the rest of the semester. And we did that in large part, because of the unrest it would cause students not knowing should they stay or should they go. So at least classes will be online for the rest of the semester. If, who knows, we do what we're told to do, which is to stay in, and to keep 6 feet apart, and we do flatten the curve of the disease, maybe aspects of campus could open before the end of the semester, but classes will stay online.
Visiting hours, though, with professors, things like that, might resume.
They might resume, but again, safety and health first. So we're going to follow the CDC's lead, we're going to follow the governor's lead, and we're going to be conservative about this because we think that's the best way to keep people safe.
Now, if a professor wishes to come to his or her office right now and clean it up or get organized or go through some pertinent information, is that still possible or have they been ordered to stay away?
That is possible until 5 o'clock, but with permission. We were ahead of this a little bit last week and urging people not to come in unless they were deemed to be essential to collect their materials and be prepared to work from home. So I think it should be a rare case where that's necessary.
And Dr. Galligan, we had the first reported case of an LSU student who did have, I understand, an on-campus job. Where does that stand as far as anybody who might have been exposed to this individual?
Yeah, we have informed everybody who we believe might have been exposed to the student. The student and we are hoping the student recovers fully and the student is home. Folks are in contact with the student, and the student was actually in online classes 100%. As I said, we've notified everybody. We notified everybody on Friday and Saturday when we found out.
Now, 8 weeks ago, you were at the White House celebrating a national championship football season. All was grand in Tigertown, and now things have changed in a dramatic way. You are no stranger to leadership, having been at the law school as the top person, I think, for 4 years. But this is certainly more than you bargained for. Do you feel like you've got the staff and the resources to do what is necessary in this most unusual time?
You know, Jim, I absolutely feel that I have the staff and the resources to do what we need to do. You know, this is more than anybody bargained for. But I think, again, I'll reiterate what I said before. I got great folks around me, and we're talking about LSU, but the whole higher education community is pulling together on this. The presidents of the four systems, Kim Hunter Reed, the commissioner of the Board of Regents, we are in regular, essentially daily communication about higher ed. So we really have come together, and I know sometimes people talk about,
Okay, we do have to take a break, but we'll return for a few minutes with Thomas Galligan. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. In just a moment, we'll hear from Mike Berto, the chief economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana, commenting on the 10th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act. But we're continuing for a few minutes with Thomas Galligan, who is the president of LSU until further notice. He was at the law school as the dean there for 4 years, and he is running the whole shebang right now. And, of course, this involves other campuses, including medical facilities. So how is that going, Dr. Galligan?
You know, that's actually going as well as can be expected, too. Our health science centers both have partners with whom we provide clinical services, and they are working really, really hard to deal with the crisis. They're working in Shreveport to do testing. New Orleans is working to move towards that. The first and second year med students, as I said earlier, have been online for a few weeks already. We've suspended clinical rotations for a couple of weeks, but we will see where we go with those. But my hat's off to those folks, because they are both educators and they are healthcare providers, and they're doing a great job.
What if, heaven forbid, something happened to you, if you were tested positive? What would be the protocol at that point?
Well, I'm working from home right now, so as long as I was okay, I think I would keep working, but we would have folks, we would obviously have backstops and backups ready to go and ready to step in. I think it would be the next person up, and I got a whole lot of confidence in those next people.
Are there any parting comments? And we will be calling on Dr. Galligan as this continues, and it will for a while, as we know. But are there any parting comments on March 23rd, 2020 that you have for listeners who are affected by this and who are under your jurisdiction?
You know, I would say thank you for everything that you are doing. And, Jim, thank you for having me on. And I reiterate the message I had before. Our responsibility to one another is really critical right now. The weight of the world really is on our shoulders, but we're carrying it together. And we're at home and we're 6 feet apart. And that's the way together, I think, that we are going to fight this thing and we are going to beat this thing, and we are going to get through it. So the most profound words, I wish I could say more and be more eloquent, but the most profound words I could say are thank you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Tom Galligan, the president of LSU. It's been good talking with you, even under these circumstances. Thank you, sir.
Likewise. Talk to you soon.
Will do. We're joined now by Mike Berto, the chief healthcare economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. And Mike, of course, is one who knows healthcare pretty well. And for the first time in the history of us talking, which has been a long time on the air, you're not in studio. Mike Berto, can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Kind of missing your smiley face there, Jim.
Well, it's a little harder to smile these days, but we will get through this. We know that. But in the interim, there are going to be people who are affected dramatically. And how are you preparing from that from your perspective?
Well, the good news is Blue Cross entered into the COVID-19 scenario financially very strong. And the amount of money that we pump out into the medical community every month is really critical to keeping hospitals running and doctors in business. And we are ready to continue to do that. We've been able to transition a significant proportion of our workforce to work at home. Like me, I'm working from home since last Thursday. And, you know, we're able to continue to support our membership. And we've taken some pretty important changes, some steps to make sure that people aren't hesitant to access medical care when they think they need it. For example, we have an online healthcare application called Blue Care that we've waived all the copays on. Now, you may get in there, and it's very popular, so you may have to wait a little while, but you can see a doc pretty much anywhere as long as you have a smartphone or a tablet or a home PC. We know that people's ability to pick up their prescriptions might be a little erratic right now, so we waived all the time restraints on picking up scripts. In the old days, pre-COVID-19, like it was a long time ago, you might have to wait until the 22nd or 23rd day of your 30-day script to go get it. Those conditions have been waived, so it'll be much easier for you to get your refills and stay on your medication. When your doc's prescribing new meds, we've done away with things like step therapy or anything that might slow down the diagnosis or slow down the prescriptions. And all of the testing related to COVID-19 is now being done for all of our members with no cost. So you don't have to worry, oh, I don't have $50 in my pocket. Can I really go get a test? I haven't hit my deductible. You can call your medical providers and use that without fear of what are you going to get charged at the end of the day.
Today in the New York Times, as in every other newspaper in America, the top story is coronavirus, COVID-19, and the story reads this way. Terrifying though the coronavirus may be, it can be turned back. China, South Korea, Singapore, and Taiwan have demonstrated that with furious efforts, the contagion can be brought to heel. Whether they keep it suppressed remains to be seen, but for the United States to repeat their successes will take extraordinary levels of coordination and money from the country's leaders and extraordinary levels of trust and cooperation from citizens. It will also require international partnerships in an interconnected world. There is a chance to stop the coronavirus. This contagion has a weakness. In China yesterday, for example, and this is a country with 1.3 billion people, four times the size of the United States, there were 39 new cases in China. 39.
Yep.
In the USA yesterday, 1,529 new cases. So we've got some progress to make, and in Louisiana, as we know, particularly in the greater New Orleans area, there has been an outbreak. Are you confident that the steps that are being taken, and by the way, the governor will address the state tonight at 7 o'clock, and it will be heard right here on WRKF, are you confident that these are the correct steps and that they will work?
Well, far be it from me to second-guess our leadership at this point in the game, but I will say this. Corona is, the COVID-19 strain of Corona is forcing decisions upstream that, we haven't really ever faced before. And I can understand, you know, when you're in leadership, there are certain levers you could pull to up the state's response or up the nation's response. And each one of those steps, which may be critical to controlling the disease, have gigantic, economic implications for people across the board. So, I understand from a decision maker state of mind why you might be hesitant to push that button or pull that trigger, but we need to move forward towards success, and I have every confidence that our leadership is going to push the right button at the right time to make sure that we get this thing under control. I think you and I will be having a very different conversation about this in a month or two, about how, you know, we got through it and things are starting to return back to normal. But unprecedented challenges, especially when you consider that there were a lot of things going into the COVID-19 discussion that we just didn't know about the virus. Mm-hmm. This isn't like the flu where, you know, we've been studying it for years and, you know, we bring out new vaccinations every year. This is a new strain of COVID. something that we haven't really dealt with before. It does have weaknesses, and we're going to have to address those aggressively. And I think that, you know, it brings up a point that I wanted to say. I want to issue a blanket thank you, a huge thank you, to the people who fall into the categories that have less risk from COVID from the people who have more risk, like me. I've got high blood pressure. I'm pushing 60. You know, I live with people with health conditions who would be very adversely affected if they got infected by COVID. And I want to say thank you to the younger folks who are playing ball right now.
877-217-5757 is your number. We're going to spend some more time with Mike Berto, a happy warrior even under the most adverse conditions, the chief healthcare economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. When we called him, it was about the 10th anniversary of Obamacare, but now there's much more, and we'll continue our discussion after this timeout for the news.
It's 9:30. I'm Karen Henderson with WRKF News. Governor John Bel Edwards has issued a statewide stay-at-home directive ordering all 4.6 million people in Louisiana to stay at home starting at 5 p.m. today unless they're performing an essential task like getting food or medicine. The governor's order exempts first responders and workers at grocery stores, pharmacies, doctor's offices, and other critical infrastructure. People can still go out to exercise and walk their dogs, and he says authorities won't be asking them where they're going. But the governor says that, quote, we are in a race against time when it comes to this coronavirus. Governor Edwards will be live on radio and television airways tonight at 7 for a one-hour broadcast to address Louisiana's fight against the spread of the coronavirus. Edwards spokesperson Shauna Sanford says the goal is to answer many of the questions the public has about the pandemic.
They're going to be talking about what's going on with testing here in the state, what our capacity is, how this is impacting businesses, what resources are available for businesses, what resources are available for people who are unemployed.
There will be no audience at the LPB studio. Edwards, the health professional, and other guests will answer questions from the public that were sent over the weekend. The hour-long broadcast will be streamed at gov.la.gov as well as lpb.org and aired live here at 89.3 WRKF. Ochsner Health's Chief Executive Officer Warner Thomas says the health system there is prepared to handle a potential influx of coronavirus patients. He says that despite reports of hospitals lacking personal protective equipment and not enough respirators, Ochsner's been working on getting more supplies.
So we think we're in good shape right now. We've got several days of supply, and we are working with multiple vendors in the region and in the country and outside of the country to identify more personal protective equipment.
Thomas is calling on every Louisianan to heed the governor's call for social distancing. A thoroughbred named Wells Bayou took an early lead and held off another named Nye Traffic to win the $1 million Louisiana Derby by a head in an Erie contest over the weekend. The qualifying points race for the Kentucky Derby was one of the few U.S. sporting events to continue as scheduled amid the coronavirus pandemic. It was run in front of an empty clubhouse and grandstand at Fairground Racecourse in New Orleans because of crowd restrictions related to the virus. Sunny today with a high near 82. That's your WRKF News. I'm Karen Henderson.
What I value most about WRKF is that they have a very thoughtful approach to everything that they do, but particularly the news that's presented. So I appreciate that. I'd like to think that my firm takes a thoughtful approach to what we do. So I think in that way we share those values. My name is Siobhan Leger, and I'm proud to be a member of WRKF.
WRKF, discover with us.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Jeff Palermo is producing today. Our regular producer, Matt Doyle, has been quarantined. So that's the nature of the beast today in this world, all over this country and all over this state. We are facing situations like this, and we hope the best for Matt and for all who are listening. But there are precautions that should be taken. And with us to talk about the world of coronavirus and healthcare is a man who knows healthcare as well as anyone I know, Mike Berto of Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And it was not so long ago, as I mentioned with the chancellor, that 2 months ago the LSU team was in the White House and they were toasting the national champions, and there was no no hint that this was to come. A few days ago, Ron Paul, former congressman, stated that this was a hoax. His son, Rand Paul, U.S. Senator from Kentucky, now has coronavirus. Today, the story is that Rand Paul's pals, Senator Mike Lee and Senator Mitt Romney, say they're self-quarantining after hearing about Paul's coronavirus diagnosis. They say because of the close proximity to him of late, they're doing it out of precaution, not because they have symptoms. Paul's social media team is responding to the criticism he's catching right now for working out in the Senate gym, telling his constituents and Americans at large that as soon as the guy learned he had coronavirus, he isolated himself immediately. 877-217-5757 is your number. Here's a guy who is a doctor who had been tested for coronavirus, and he's working out in the Senate gym, Mike Berto. Sometimes smart people don't have much common sense.
Well, you know, reality dawns on all of us at different rates. I think Corona has been kind of a cold slap in the face for all of us over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But I would say by and large, most of the people I talk to every day and deal with are wide awake now. I don't think there's as much doubt or confusion as there used to be. And you know, it was interesting. You said the 10th anniversary of the ACA. I shudder to think what kind of situation we would be in if the ACA hadn't passed at this point. We've got at least 20 million people who are covered by Medicaid programs that might not have been covered if the ACA hadn't happened. We have an infrastructure in place now where we can deliver individual health insurance to people in a guaranteed issue way. And so if you're employed and your employer coverage ends, you can go. You've got that opens up a 60-day window on healthcare.gov where you can go and apply for insurance regardless of your health status and, depending on your projected income, get assistance from the Fed directly to help pay your premiums and copays and deductibles. So I do think it is meaningful to assess the impact of the ACA. 10 years ago, there were about 50 million people in the United States with no third-party payer backing them up when they went out to seek health care with no insurance. And now I can say that number is probably closer to 25 million, and a big chunk of those are uninsured, believe it or not, by choice, because they just want to spend the money on something else, and they're relatively higher income. So it's really significant in the midst of COVID-19 to say the ACA is making an impact, and it's definitely making an impact today.
Now, a listener asked, this is Holly in the Garden District, about payment for a test. The governor was on his show on Wednesday, asked the governor, and it was noted that for those who have these tests, they have to pay like $50 out of pocket. How does that work, and does insurance kick in?
Well, a Blue Cross customer right now won't be charged anything. It's $0 for covered tests for COVID-19. So any appropriate medical diagnostic tests that rely on that are for COVID-19 and are based on the guidance from the CDC, where it's not covered by the U.S. Public Health Service, we cover it 100%. So that's our policy right now in the market. So if you're a Blue Cross customer and you fit the CDC guidance that says test this person, we're absolutely going to pay for that.
877-217-5757. Before we go to the phone lines, another listener asks about the inability to get tests in some case. Tests are scarce. There are some locations here in Baton Rouge and elsewhere, of course, but not everybody is being tested. In fact, Matt Doyle, the producer I mentioned, he's 27 years old. He's got flu-like symptoms. He was tested for the regular flu, tested negative, but they did not test him for this. Why not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not a doctor, of course, so I can't really speculate too much. But from what I've seen, I heard a doc on TV the other day say, from the CDC, say, you know, typically you want to test if you're going to intervene or if somebody really needs to know so it can direct a course of treatment. I think the majority of people who get COVID are going to end up just being self-quarantined and the virus is going to play out. Like you said, right now there's no cure for COVID-19. There's no vaccine. So we'll have to leave that to the medical professionals and the Center for Disease Control to decide you know, when testing is appropriate and when it isn't. I also saw some reports about the fact that the first batch of tests that we got in from overseas that were being produced turned out to be very inaccurate, gave a lot of false positives. And so they ended up not being able to use a lot of those tests, and they had to wait for an approved test to come through, and that might have slowed the response a little bit.
Tom in Woodland Ridge. Hi, Tom. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Jim, how are you?
Fine. Good to hear your voice, Tom.
Thanks, man. You too. This may seem like an off-the-wall question, but I'm curious. Do you know if golf courses are open? That seems like a way for people to get exercise pretty socially distanced. And it might keep some marriages together as well.
You know, that's really a timely question.
I live a block from City Park, and there were people playing golf. But I don't know about this new order from the governor, whether it affects that or not. So,
I'm not sure. I can tell you one thing. If you're in the market for new golf equipment, this is a great time to buy it. I am getting email after email from the big golf warehouses, and the discounts are dramatically high. So I don't know if you can go out and play right now, but if you were thinking about upgrading your clubs, this would be a good time to do it.
I would say that golf is probably about as safe an activity as you can have, and if you're outside, you're actually helping your immune system. So people, even amid this, are encouraged to get exercise. Jeff, can you get that line? 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. I understand that there are a bunch of businesses that employees can be fired if they do not come into work. There's a list of 26 that I'm looking at right now. Walmart, all grocery stores, gas stations, AT&T. I mean, it's a big list. And so people who don't come in can't be fired. So it's like you're risking your life to go. This is not a lockdown. I don't think it's really the right thing to do. I mean, this is dangerous.
Well, but people need those services too. You can't live without food, and so people have to go somewhere to get their food. Restaurants, by the way, are considered essential. There is takeout. You're not allowed to go in and dine in a restaurant, but you are allowed to go and order something and leave with it. And I commend the Advocate for having an editorial today stating the importance of supporting these establishments because they are showing a big drop in business, but yet many of them have stayed open. But let's face it, also, the situation is such that there are going to be fewer and fewer of them staying open.
I've seen press releases, Jim. I've seen press releases from Walmart, Target, Costco, Domino's Pizza, all indicating that they're ready to hire 100,000 people nationwide or 150,000 people. So it's critical. It's obvious that they realize their key place in the supply chain, and they realize that their demand is going to skyrocket as people are less able to eat out or do other things. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see if the workforce starts to shift as people's jobs slow down. What do? Do you go take up a part-time job delivering pizza or stocking shelves? I mean, it's going to be a shift in the economy. We're going to be watching very carefully over the next month or two.
And people are losing their jobs, too. There was a projection this morning I heard that by the time this plays out, 30% of the country could be unemployed. So we're in different times and dangerous times, and let's commend those who are showing up for work. And Jeff Palermo says Breck is evaluating its operations at the six golf courses it operates. David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Berto of Blue Cross. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me give Governor Edwards a lot of compliments for having the vision, the foresight, and the decency to expand Medicaid under Obamacare in Louisiana when people need health care more than ever. But the other side of the coin, the Republican governor in Georgia, Brian Kemp, is adamant not to expand Medicaid under the expanded Obamacare, and people are literally crying and screaming for health care in Georgia. And that tells me that the Republican Party is heartless. And another example of that, the Republican original plan to give people a bailout, if you didn't pay taxes, you get $600, but if you make $60,000, you get $1,200. And one other point.
All right, we're about to go to a break, but as we go, Mike, is it impossible to divorce politics from the reality we're in? Can we give it a break, or is that that's something that politics is everything? As we saw with the breakdown on discussions about this $2 trillion bailout, obviously Democrats want working people to get more of it, and Republicans are tilting it toward business. Is it impossible to take politics out of the equation?
You know, I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, I believe Congress and the governor will do what is best for the American people, because that's what they get paid to do. That's their job.
877-217-5757. Back with Mike Berto after this short pause on Talk Louisiana.
You're listening to member-supported 89.3 WRKF, NPR for Baton Rouge and South Louisiana. Discover with us. Listen on your smartphone with the WRKF app, available for Apple or Android.
Support for Talk Louisiana is provided by our members and by VonTomTix.com, an online community resource selling tickets to area cultural events. Created by the folks behind Country Roads magazine, VonTomTix.com is the ticket to good times in Baton Rouge and beyond. And by commercial photographer Marie Constantine, who makes business portraits on location. Marie Constantine, 405-5204, marieconstantine.com. And by the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, supporting Louisiana agriculture and providing educational programs to instill an appreciation for renewable food, fiber, and fuel. Information is available at lfbf.org.
Thank you to the members of our Legacy Society who've included WRKF in their financial plans to help secure the station's future as a strong community resource for trustworthy news and cultural programming. Visit WRKF.org for more information.
The 2020 U.S. Census is happening now. Responding online, by phone, or by mail increases efficiency and minimizes potential health risks from in-person visits. More information at 2020census.gov.
As the Affordable Care Act turns 10, available health care is more relevant for patients than ever.
I felt more in charge of my cancer than I ever felt about the insurance situation.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. How did the Affordable Care Act change health care 10 years ago, and how's the coronavirus changing health care today? That story this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Later this afternoon, here on 89.3 WRKF Baton Rouge.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Mike Berto with us, and let's go to Dan downtown, who's been waiting patiently. Dan, you're on Talk Louisiana. Mike is, of course, the chief healthcare economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. Dan, you have the floor.
So you say that Congress will do what they're paid to do. Is there a concern that the Republican congressmen are paid more by their corporate donors than the $174,000 they get from the taxpayers?
All right. Mike, you want to buy
that? That's a good question. That's a good question, but I'm not going to go there. I just want to remind everyone, while I've got a pause in here, I've just been handed a note that we've got a website online called bcbsla.com/COVID-19. where we're putting up the latest data we have on mental health issues. I mean, this is causing a lot of depression in the marketplace, and it helping people to understand exactly what they're going through. We also have all of the policy issues. We're open for business. We're taking care. We're paying people's bills. Even though our physical offices are closed, we're all working hard behind the scenes. And the national picture is not as important to me right now, to be honest, is what we're doing in Louisiana to take care of our people. And when you've got, you know, 1.8 million people counting on you, you've got to make sure that the bills get paid and they can go with confidence into the healthcare system. And I think that we're achieving that. So let's keep going forward there.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average in early trading today is losing again, down 318 to 18,855. It's now down about 5% in the Trump presidency. The journalism that often occurs in these times is profound, and the writing is crisp. Today, three reporters from the New York Times put it this way: with the economy faltering, the political landscape unsettled as the coronavirus death toll climbs, a stark and unavoidable question now confronts President Trump and his advisors. Can he save his campaign for reelection when so much is suddenly going so wrong? After 3 years of Republicans championing signs of financial prosperity that were to be Mr. Trump's chief reelection argument, the president has never needed a new message to voters as he does now, not to mention luck. At this point, the president has one clear option for how to proceed politically, and it is hoping that an array of factors will break his way. The option, which he has brazenly pushed in recent days, is to cast himself as a wartime president who looks in charge of a nation under siege while his likely Democratic opponent, former Vice President Joseph R. Biden Jr., is largely out of sight, hunkered down in Delaware. With us to talk about health care, and of course health care is an issue that is loaded with political implications, as we noted with the Affordable Care Act, which was signed 10 years ago today. Mike Berto, James and Metairie, you're on the air with Mike Berto. Welcome to Talk Louisiana. Hi, James.
Well, thank you. Just some breaking news. Finally, somebody is taking positive corrective action. Larry Klayman, the infamous lawyer, has filed a $20 trillion lawsuit against China for creating and releasing the coronavirus in a bioweapons lab in Wuhan. That will solve our problems, Jim, coming from the right. One observation on this. You mentioned politics. I've noticed increasingly with this crisis that the staunch supporters of Donald Trump seem to filter every phenomenon, every item that comes across in terms of it's for Trump or against Trump. If you're not for Trump, you are against Trump. The Chinese are behind this to bring down Trump. Everybody and the Democrats and the Chinese and the Russians are all working in concert to bring down Donald Trump. Jim, this is a mental disease just as bad as this virus, I think.
All right. Thank you, James. Appreciate it. And Mike Berto, as far as this new situation we have with people staying in their homes and ordered pretty much to stay in unless necessary, how long do you think it'll take? How long can we withstand this?
Well, I have a lot of faith in the fact that people, when they're faced with the reality of what we're dealing with right now, will play ball. They will minimize contact. They'll wash their – I haven't washed my hands this much in the last 10 years as I have in the last 10 days. And my wife looked at me the other day. She's like, you're really becoming a germaphobe. I said, I know, and I was the opposite of that prior. So when it all hits home, people start to understand the severity, and it's – you know, if there's ever been a time when we could demonstrate the fact that we're all in this together, the fact that a certain percentage of the population can carry COVID-19 around and give it to somebody else, and it might not affect them at all, and it might be very damaging to that other person, it really puts a spotlight on how much we care about each other. And from what I've observed so far, even the younger folks who have lower risks of serious conditions are caring about me, about the older folks who do have conditions. And it's been a shining light for me to sit back and take a look at the way the population has responded. I mean, with a few silly exceptions like, you know, what's toilet paper hoarding about? You know, I have never figured that out. We make 90% of the toilet paper that we make is made domestically and will never run out. They literally could make enough toilet paper to fill up all our houses. The people still, you know, hoarded it for a while. With a few rare exceptions, I'm very impressed with the way people have responded. Can you do more? Of course you can do more. And, you know, make sure that you're following the rules as best you can. But we're, you know, when we talk about living our own independent lives and doing our own thing, I don't think that works today. I think today we're all in this together. And so we have to care about everybody around us. And if there's one thing I've learned about Louisiana, going through Katrina and Rita and the downturns and the upswings, is that when this state is called upon to do the right thing, the people who live here show enough emotion and love about each other to do the right thing and to take care of each other. So in that vein, I think we're going to see this thing turn around because of the behavior of the people around us. I feel really good about that.
Mary Patricia Ray writes, do we need better slash emergency rules from the Board of Medical Examiners to encourage and specify how expanded telemedicine and telehealth should work?
Well, I've been waiting for telemedicine, telehealth, to reach a tipping point. And when I looked at the millennial generation, I said, this is not going to be very long in the making. This group of folks, I have kids who are between the ages of 22 and 30, and I could see they don't really like doing face-to-face doctor stuff, but I could see them using an app to access the healthcare system as much as possible. I think COVID-19 is accelerating that process. And so I think going forward, the telemedicine game is going to be a much bigger part of our healthcare than it is today. If the rules and regulations haven't quite kept up with that, we may see some more work on it.
All right.
But I'm very impressed with the way Blue Care is moving forward and the way people are embracing telehealth now.
All right. Troy Prevost asks if Blue Cross is loosening rules to perform telehealth.
Absolutely. In fact, we waived all the copays. So in other words, when people used telehealth in the past, it would apply, they might be a $39 or $29 copay to use it. We just reduced all of that to zero about a week ago. And now we've experiencing a big upswing in volume. You may have to wait a little while, or you may notice that some hospitals and some clinics have their own telehealth apps. Now, you might have to pay a few bucks to use those. They may not be doing it for zero the way we are, but there's a lot of it out there and a lot of it available.
Ellen Alderman writes, are you aware why LDH, Department of Health, is not updating its website? People online are using stale numbers as proof the worst is over. While I applaud the governor for his handling of the situation, writes Ellen, this is a serious breakdown in communications between the state and its residents. And she sends the website, la.gov coronavirus, from the Department of Health. But I would assume that they would be updating it, but if they're not, they should be, if that is the case. And I'm going to the site now. And
I think until recently they didn't have access to the tests that were being done in commercial labs, because the state was doing testing and commercial labs are doing testing. And now they have access to both. And they said, I got a memo this morning that said they were going to update it once a day. I wanted to say it was the morning update, 9:30 or so. And now they're supposed to have access to both.
And their numbers are the same as media right now, 837 cases in Louisiana, 20 deaths. And tests completed, 1385. Tests reported to the state, 2113 by commercial labs. So
there you go.
So there we go. So I think those numbers are the same as what media have, but it would be nice to have as many nuggets of information at our disposal at all times. But the governor last week says it's going to get worse before it gets better, Mike, and the numbers this week prove that. The flattening of the curve is what we're hearing about. When does the curve flatten as it has in China?
Yeah, nobody knows the exact answer to that, but I think it's directly dependent on us. The more we are engaged, the more we use social distancing, the more we wash our hands, the more we avoid unnecessary contact, the less we go out into the world except for essential trips. You got to go to the grocery store. You have to go to the drugstore. But, you know, other things that we can avoid, we can affect the curve. I thought Senator Cassidy used a really good example the other day of why it's so important to make this go. He said, you know, in New Orleans, if it rains 8 inches in 2 hours, the system's overwhelmed. But if it rains 8 inches over a week, nobody even notices. That's kind of where we are, right?
That's a good way of putting it. It's the way a pandemic works. Thank you, Mike Berto. I'm sure we'll be calling again soon, and you stay safe and well.
Thanks very much, Tim.
And we'll return tomorrow, same time, same place. Jeff Palermo producing, and we thank you for listening. I'm Jim Inkster. Stay tuned.